that they'll ride at your parade. Two women and whiskey, this man was a slave.
Cigarettes, whiskey, and wild, wild women. That was played live at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern on Saturday night with a whole lot of hoedown stuff. Just kidding. I wish I had them there live, man. I'll tell you what. You know, there's a history to that record. When I was a kid working as learning to trade in the television business. I was working for a local company here half a day and going to school half a day. We had a record shop, and we used to use this old 78 record, Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild Wild Women, as a test record when we're working on record players. One day a guy come in, he says, I gotta have that record. I said, well, we don't really want to sell it, but maybe. So he talked, and so there were three of us, the office gal, myself, and the master technician. Excuse me. Couldn't get to the kill switch fast enough there. We voted on it, and we voted to sell it to the guy. I forget what, $20 or something like that. But that was our experience with Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild Wild Women, man. Good morning, and it is, by the Frank Silva atomic clock here, which I reset the other day because I dropped it. This is April the 7th, 2014, and I got this set wrong because it says Sun's Day, and this definitely isn't Sun's Day. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your snail mail. You send your donations for the radio show, of which most of the guys have got them up already. And like I said, reminding you, when you send us your donation in the mail, and of course you put your email address inside, then send a quick note to merchandiseresist@yahoo.com and tell the lady there that you done sent your money. So we've got it covered both ways that way. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been thinking again. Yeah. You know, this thing about the right and left drives me crazy. Because there's some things on the left you like, and some things on the right you like, some things you like in the middle you like. But they've got it all set up and divisioned off and fenced in. For instance, with gun control. Now, if you expect me to come down on the right wing side where everybody should be able to have any kind of gun they want, anytime they want it, no matter what their personal habits are or anything else, then you're wrong, because the only thing I promote having privacy of your own guns is to protect your house, your domicile, your family. And the other reason for having guns is when the government goes crazy and the people have to come together to violently resist the government, then they need all the guns they can get. Now, that's simple to me. But I don't, and of course, those people that say you can't do any damage, you couldn't damage the government with just small arms, well, that's BS. Anybody knows anything about unconventional warfare knows that's nonsense. Oh, you won't have the upper hand, maybe for a long time, but as long as you keep fighting, eventually you'll win. And, of course, I'm always willing to make the deal with the government. You start disarming, and maybe I'll start disarming. You want to get rid of all those atomic warheads and this giant military-industrial complex you've got. You start cutting that down by what it should be cut down, and then talk to me about disarming, or at least having not so many arms. Seems like a fair deal to me. One side wants to have all the guns. That's the government, not even the right wing. The government wants all the guns. And you see what happens on their military bases. They've only got a few MPs on a military base. Now, you've trained all these guys to kill. You know, I think everybody's got to go through some kind of basic training. That's what they teach you, to kill. And then they set you on a preserve or reserve or a base like that and expect everybody to be cool at all times. Well, this is ridiculous because of the way human nature is. And now and then you're going to have somebody that just blows their stack and starts shooting people. Well, what if you only got you only have a few MPs on the base. So here, you've taught everybody to kill, but you haven't taught them really self-defense, to where all these troops are walking around on the base just as disarmed as they are more disarmed than they are in New York City or South Chicago. And, you see, somebody made a joke about this fellow that shot down the Negro boy down south. They said, well, if he'd have been on the base, that wouldn't have happened. Well, it probably wouldn't have if he'd have been close. If a few of those people had been carrying guns and this guy flipped out right close to them, I think it could have been a very good chance that they could have limited his kill. But military bases are just as disarmed or more disarmed than the public. I mean, they got a tremendous amount of guns on the street in South Chicago that they don't have on the hip in Texas. Now, I can't understand the progressive people about this. They just go absolutely crazy about guns, and all they talk about is the NRA. Well, screw the NRA. My reasoning for having guns is nothing to do with the NRA. In fact, I don't like the origins of the NRA, which was started up to train Negroes on how to do bad things to white people in Reconstruction South. So that leaves a bad taste in my mouth right away. And I've never been an NRA supporter. I belong to a group in California called the National Association to Keep and Bear Arms, NACBA. And we had a lot of good people in that, but I wouldn't join the NRA, and it's disingenuous for the progressive liberals to keep yelling about NRA, 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 like if the NRA would go away, that millions of Americans wouldn't still have guns or want to keep them. That's a fake argument. They're just trying to stay away from attacking the common man, the working man, because they know that's not going to get him anywhere. And of course they try to use it by talking about rednecks all the time, you know, rednecks, like that's automatically you're a stupid idiot and a homicidal maniac if you're a redneck. Well, to me, I'd be proud to be a redneck. Now, that was about the Irish working down there in that Georgia red clay back in the old days when they were like slaves. Get that old clay up on the back of their neck, they get a red neck, and also their white skin would sunburn real quickly, those white Irish working down there in the fields of the South. So I don't see where that gets the progressive liberals to always be condemning people, white people from the South, because they're, let's face it, there's plenty of dumbasses in the North, plenty to go around. So here you got these guys arguing with you about this, that it's horrible that all these crimes take place. course, they don't ever look at it as a class problem or a race problem. It's just a gun problem. And like, they're not going to hardly ever talk about the fact that there's a disproportionate amount of black misuse of guns. But the progressive liberals go on and on and on and on about how bad the government is getting, and it's becoming a fascist state, and it's horrible. Everything they're doing is wrong, and they're pretty close to being correct about that. But why would anybody that's that sure that there's a fascist so-called government or predatory capitalist government becoming a police state, a military-industrial complex state, why would they want to take guns away from people? I don't understand that. That's like a guy who may have survived the camps in Germany or Poland or Auschwitz coming out and saying, I don't want to ever have a gun. Well, I think if I'd have been in a concentration camp, and I might have been because of my attitude, I don't like to take orders from people in the government. And I'm afraid I might have ended up in a concentration camp. And I'm not even, of course, a Jew. But why Jews would want to be disarmed is unbelievable to me. These liberal left-wing Jews, I know they think they have control of the government, but that can disappear overnight. So when you talk to a progressive liberal, you can say, well, yeah, there's a lot of white guys, there's a lot of non-Jews out there, a lot of people that I don't think really should have a gun. I mean, I've been around. You go into a beer bar once in a while and you hear these guys talking, and you really want them to be strapping on a gun and walking around? No, I don't, because I think they're nuts. And that part I'll go along with the left-wing liberals. There's a hell of a lot of people in this country should not be carrying around guns because they're immature, they explode, they get drunk, they go crazy, and kill their families and kill their friends and so forth. And that's something that should be decided among the people, probably on the local level, the county or state, to get a psychological profile on especially people who've been in jail and everything like that. So anyhow, so you say to the left-wing liberal, I can go part way with you on this, and I don't think any of us need to have 100 guns. Maybe if they're buried securely someplace in case of a real takeover or a real Homeland Security dictatorship to hand them out to other people. But now, at this time, I don't see it. I don't see it. I've never had over, I think, a half a dozen guns in my life, and I haven't shot a gun for so long I can't remember. The DEA agents that raided my house must have been pretty shocked when they looked at my guns. Some of those things may be rusted shut. I haven't looked at them in a long time. But just ask the liberal, the progressive, or, you know, I hate to use labels. I just despise it. I wish we could get away from it. Just ask the person who is for picking up the guns and getting them all out of private hands, what would they do if this so-called fascist government, this predatory capitalist government, keeps getting more and more centralized and more criminal? I mean, you know, you could say, look what they do to the other countries around the world. They go around blowing up, shooting up, killing thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, and nobody has forced the government to give up their right to keep and bear arms. So what are you going to do, buddy? If you're going to pick up all the guns or know where every gun is, Mr. Liberal Progressive, I don't understand how you can have one and not the other. It's sort of like the same liberal conservative or liberal argument that We don't need closed borders. We don't need strong fences. We don't need a strong immigration policy. But yet they cry about we've got overpopulation. Duh, we've got overpopulation. Well, with 20 more million mestizos in the country, of course you got overpopulation, and it gets worse all the time. But these same people that say, oh, the environment's going to hell, we're just using up everything and all that stuff, and they don't get the connection of people coming across the border and flying in here, and all the dictators we supported and financed that once they lose their position come roaring into Miami Beach and buying up these palaces to live in. Why in the hell is there such a void between the right and the left? That's what gets me. I don't understand it. I wish we could get enough right and left wingers and other people together in a big hall and talk it over. Now, on the racial issue, of course, now they want to use the racial issue to divide white people. No, not to bring them together, to divide them. The first place was to get the white women into the civil rights laws. That was very clever of them. Also clever of the capitalist, predatory capitalists to get more cheap labor and to get white women to work at about the level of payment that the blacks were getting. That was smarter than hell. That's pretty Jewish in the way they're thinking there. So they split us up. Now, they talk about self-determination of black people. They talk about self-determination of Mongol, so-called Indian people. And all these people, the communities, the Indian community, the black community, the Mexican community, that's okay. But when you say, well, we want our white community, well, you're bad. Well, that all this stuff don't make any logic to me, and but I think some of it can be worked out, because there's a lot of things on the left I agree with, and there's things on the right I agree with, but I can't agree with one side or the other at all. In fact, in a lot of cases I take create my own in-between ideas, you know. So those are a few things I've been thinking about. What are you thinking about? Another thing, too, these conservatives that want to take everything out of the ground, including using up all the agricultural land and to where it's worthless, like they did, remember, in the South? They planted cotton to the point where the land just gave out. You couldn't raise anything. And they finally learned they had to put something back. Well, we're doing that. And they say, we got to have production, get more production. Growth is wonderful. Well, no, growth is not wonderful if you're using up all your nutrients in your soil just to produce corn to ship out to China or someplace. And a large percentage of the agri-farming grain and so forth going right down to Mississippi or right through the Great Lakes and out to other countries, non-white countries, to feed them. And then people cry about, oh, the third world is getting so overpopulated, we got to do something. Well, the first thing you do is quit feeding them. Oh, Metzger, you're so horrible. We got to feed them. Well, if you feed them, you have more population. And you can't have it both ways, Mr. Liberal Progressive and Liberal Conservative, one way or the other. Where is your logic? Now, right now, they're fracking everywhere, screwing up not only the surface of the land, but they're going down, that's not good enough, they're going down in deep in the land and destroying that too, and causing all kinds of problems. Screwing up the water. Everybody said, well, boy, it's terrible. We don't have enough water. You're using this cracking and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, Well, it's okay to have millions of Mexicans in here. Well, they're all drinking water. They're all going to the bathroom in the toilet, and that's 5 gallons every time they flush their little tequila ass. What about that? What about that logic? Even if it wasn't racial. Even if it wasn't racial, it doesn't make sense. So I listen to the right and left all the time, and I'll come away and say, well, that was pretty smart, or that was pretty smart. But this other stuff is stupid. Why? How can they be so stupid that they want to be 180 degrees out of phase on everything, like abortion? I think abortion is perfectly normal to clean up the gene pool. I believe even sterilization is very desirable to clean up the gene pool. Now, we've got a Veterans of Foreign Wars here in the community I live in, and I belong to it. And on a Saturday night, though, you go down there, and there is a handicapped, retarded house about half a mile from the VFW, and some wise guys have gotten the idea that on Saturday night they can bring all these retards into the VFW and sit them down. And that's the night, of course, they have karaoke, and I have a vested interest there because I like to sing. And these people sit there, and I guess they know where they're at, but that's about it. And they don't drink any booze. They just drink Coke and water. And I point out to the commander of the outfit, I said, look, these people are being brought in here, and they're being set down on in your place just to take up room. And that takes up the slack of the people who are housing them. They're using you, and a lot of people want to come in here and dance and sing songs and all that kind of stuff, but they got to wade through all these retards, so you just don't go. And Well, we got to be empathized. We got to be compassionate. We got to do this. This is a Christian thing to do. Horseshit. It's not the. Yeah, maybe it is a Christian thing to do, but it's not the way I think it should be done. I don't mind one or two persons that are handicapped or anything else. It's sort of like in the Army when we had one black come into the outfit. It wasn't bad. Two blacks. Nah, it's still not too bad. Boy, once you get to three blacks, everything goes to hell. Everything goes to hell. And most of you guys who've been in the service know that. So anyhow, so I advocate sterilization and abortion to clean up the gene pool. I think that it should be made difficult for obviously higher IQ white people to get abortions. I think the collective village should have something to say about that. As far as Negroes getting abortions, hell, I'm all for it. I've advocated buying up abortion mills in the big city or down along the border and all that kind of stuff. Most of these black guys don't want to have kids anyhow. They don't want to have kids. And, of course, a lot of the white black women don't want to have kids. But the way we incubate them due to the system, they keep pounding them out. So anyhow, we got to follow the natural, logical progression on any subject. And that means that we can't be in either right or left camp. But it means that we can't reject everything in the right or left camp either. And so, anyhow, that's what I'm thinking about right now on, what is it again? I've hidden my Frank Silva Memorial clock here. I couldn't see it. On the 7th of April, Moon's Day, 2014, that's what Tommy's thinking. When you go about your business and talk to your friends, why don't you present some of these questions to them? I mean, do you think that by opening the borders to wholesale immigration like it's open now? Do you think that's good for the collective country or not? Do you think that rounding up all the guns would make you safer in the long run or not? Or do you think that cleaning up the gene pool to create a more healthy, more intellectual race? What do you think? Ask them things like that and don't take a position. Just sort of like you're neutral. Maybe you'll talk to strangers and ask them. Sometime you plant that seed, it's going to go a long way, a lot farther than waving flags and wearing uniforms and doing silly stuff. Speaking of silly stuff, I got a call from Craig Cobb last night. Now, isn't it amazing, these telephones in these jails, how I can call into the desk at the sheriff's department there in Bismarck, or I forget the name of the town right now, but anyhow, and it's perfectly clear. But when I get a call from somebody like Craig Cobb from the jail, I can't understand hardly every other word he says. It was so bad. Now, he said he could hear me pretty well, but I said, they must have so many tape recorders on this line that is screwing it up. That's my position. But anyhow, Craig's still going down the road he's been going down. His lawyer knows it all. His lawyers told him to do this. His lawyers told him to do that. I say, oh, okay, all right. You know, they had a person from, it's a psychiatrist, a psychologist. He said she's a caseworker come in. And I said, why did you talk to her? Well, my lawyer said it's okay. So she was in there and ended up talking about the SPLC and stuff like that. So she's wired into the enemy. And he's in there opening up and blah, 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 even talking about things about the struggle. He said something about Strassmeyer, and who he says was suspect in the Oklahoma City thing. And then he was talking about Lefkos up in Chicago. I said, look, just get out of there and get out of that state and don't go back and quit yapping. Boy, I'll tell you, things you don't even know about. And so I just, you know as well as I do, I have to give up on Craig Cobb. I like Craig Cobb. Craig Cobb could be a great asset, but he's still talking that, you ought to bring 200 people up to Leith. I said, why in the hell would I want to bring 200 people? It'd be impossible to get 200 people to come up there. That's a one-horse little village with a dirt road as a main street. Nobody's going to go up there. You'd have to build a McDonald's hamburger stand and hand out food stamps to get even niggers to come in there in the summer, yet alone the winter. And you can't even get the Somalians over there from Minnesota in the wintertime, man. Nobody wants to be there. And now that North Dakota's committing suicide with tar sands oil and allowing that big pipeline to go through and allowing all these trains to go through with tankers full of this toxic tar sands oil that's just going to be sent overseas. It's going to be distilled and cracked or whatever you call it and just sent overseas. Just like all the coal that's going out of the ground and cutting the tops off mountains. Well, we agree with the left on that. This is all bullshit, but you don't use logic all the way down the line. You only use logic once in a while on your pet things, you know. But even then, they will say, well, we need more gasoline, you know, for people to drive in this country, bring the price down. Well, how can you bring the price down when more and more mestizos are crossing the border every day, and the first thing they do is buy a car? You go buy a Mexican's house in California, usually half a dozen cars in the yard with all the relatives driving. So no matter how much more gasoline you get, the price is still going to be fixed anyhow. So it's crazy. It's crazy. That's why people like you and I have to remain at arm's length from all these people, because they don't use logic. And anybody who doesn't use basic logic in their life is prone to commit suicide slowly or quickly, one way or another, whether it's smoking, drinking too much, or taking too much dope, or eating too much, or whatever. All these things are reasons for you to keep at arm's length from everybody, even your own. If you're even if your own relatives don't use common sense and logic, or they're into crazy ass Christianity and all that kind of stuff, keep them at arm's length. I mean, you can be, say hi to them, be halfway decent to them, but keep them at arm's length. And watch out, when the shit hits the fan, these people are going to turn into ravenous animals when they get hungry. When they get hungry. And I see these ads all the time. I saw an ad this morning on TV where they're advertising this emergency thing, or panic button, where you, if you're supposedly a senior citizen and you got a problem, you fall down or something, you press the panic button and all the EMT people start coming, all the emergency people start coming. And I'm sitting there sort of, and it was a black woman on there. I said, "You stupid broad. When the crap gets bad in this country, there not going to be any emergency vehicle coming. There won't be any room for you. Don't you understand that? There won't be any emergency equipment and people coming to aid you. You're just going to lie there on the floor and you're going to die." I guess you heard about my senator, U.S. Senator Dan Coats, who I've sent him few letters telling him what I thought of him. But I guess it was Friday. He was supposed to show up at a committee room, and I think it had something to do with right to keep and bear arms, but I'm not quite certain. Well, this dumbass got in there and started reading from his material to these people on the committee, and they're going acting like they understand everything he's saying. And finally, one of his aides hands him a note, and it says, "You're in the wrong committee room." The stupid bastard must be going senile. He's in there testifying to a group, and it's what's funny, he does it for a minute or two, and both sides think it's legit. So here's a guy totally in the wrong room talking to a bunch of idiots on the panel. I refer to this guy, Dan Coats, as a veteran of the used buggy whip sales committee. These are the kind of guys that are ruling over us. They can't even find the right committee room. Anyhow, I sent that stuff out to you. Now, here's something that you guys can really get your teeth into. There's a website called Open the Books. .com, and supposedly, and I haven't been there yet myself, I just heard about it last night, it tells all where the money's going, every congressman, every senator, every city that's wasting money, that's putting money down the rat hole, and it gives exact figures and everything according to what I hear. So why don't you start using that and zero in on a local politician and just start hammering them with, you know, letters to the editor, or call them on the telephone and say, "What the hell is this?" Like, I've got a congressman here that bitches about people on welfare, and they should take drug tests. Well, I think everybody in Washington should be forced to take a drug test if people on welfare need to take it. Anyhow, he's out there getting over $1 million a year for not raising crops. And yet he is this Republican out there crying about these horrible people who are on welfare. And there's a hell of a lot of people on welfare that are legitimate people. And you got to remember, there's more white people on welfare than any other race in this country. A lot of people don't seem to understand that. There's a lot of illegitimate situations, but there's a mass number of them don't want to be on welfare. Anyhow, go to openthebooks.com and start using it as a weapon. Sounds like it's going to be a great weapon. They've spent $500,000 putting this thing up out of private funds. So anyhow, go get him, Tiger. Now here's another website I want you to go up to and see what you think. Women Against Military Madness. And they come from probably a left of center position, but that doesn't make any difference if they're correct. I understand there's a lot of good information on it about how this military industrial complex, this war hungry government, is operating. So go up there and check it out. I watched a pretty good movie the other night, but if you don't like blood and guts, don't watch it. But it was pretty basic brutality and how things get done a lot of times. It was called Left Turn at Tahoe. It was on Netflix, I believe. No, I got that from the video store. Left Turn at Tahoe. You won't be disappointed if you like blood and guts.
When a fertilizer bomb attached to the dome light circuit, opening a door would have set it off.
But busting out a window? Perfectly safe. I just wanted to take a look. Good thing that you did. This was delivered an hour ago to the New York Times. The American Workers' Army has declared war on the fat cat exploiters who are sucking our blood.
Now, I just sent you out a big, long treatise on history of right, left, middle, you name it. And I didn't really go through it sentence by sentence. Some of it's probably correct. A lot of it's probably not correct. But you may find it interesting anyway. Well, I see the goody two-shoes over there in Germany are having their problems, just like the conservative right-wing, uptight Christian right has in this country. The number two official in Germany's biggest far-right party has quit his post after being criticized for attending a birthday celebration featuring a penis-shaped cake. Well, it seems weird, but nothing to get really excited about. People do things for jokes, I guess. German media previously reported that Peter Marx also faced criticism in far-right circles for his contacts to a party supporter who fell out of favor after she allegedly appeared in a pornographic film with a black man. Well, she'd been in pornographic stuff for a long time, I guess. I wonder how black the guy was. But anyhow, that's bad. But so what if she was into pornographic? I'm not a follower of pornographic stuff, but that's up to people's choice. The National Democrat Party confirmed Monday that Marx resigned as general secretary Sunday because of the ongoing public debate about him. The party is aiming to gain its first seat, oh my God, in the European Parliament next month after Germany's Constitutional Court nixed a requirement that parties must get at least 3% of the vote. Germany's 16 states are seeking to ban the party for its racist ideology. That party is just as much a waste of time as the Tea Party is. Don't you understand that? They're going to work their ass off to get a seat in that European Congress, which they'll be outvoted every time they turn around. It's nonsense. Quit wasting your time. That's same old right-wing conservative stuff that we've been dealing with for a long time, and I hope you're not wasting any more time on it, man. Well, I see one of my favorite films from the book that was written by Pasternak in Russia was another pawn of the CIA. CIA officials have had rave reviews of Boris Pasternak's classic Russian novel, Dr. Zhivago, not for its literary merit, but as a propaganda weapon in the Cold War, the Washington Post reported on Sunday. Well, I got a lot out of it as a love story. Sure, they were talking about the revolution and stuff like that and how it affected these people, but there was a magnificent love story involved in the book Dr. Zhivago, and also the tremendous scenery of the Russian winter was absolutely breathtaking. So I'm sorry, Mr. Right, far-right wingers. I loved the movie, and even if it was a propaganda film, I'm going to watch it again. I'll send out the information on this. Anyhow, if you've never seen Dr. Zhivago, forget all the CIA and KGB and all that bullshit, and enjoy the movie as a great, great love story. Well, I see the big corporation of Google is trying to trademark the word glass to refer to its signature smart glasses. The application is broader in scope than for its existing Google Glass trademark, however, which might be one reason why the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office isn't buying it. You can't trademark a generic term. A trademark examiner told Google last year that Americans might mistake Google's use of glass with other products that happen to contain the words also. Google's lawyers disagreed. And our associate put at the bottom, corporate arrogance and greed now trying to own common words common to the English language. Well, of course, they want to buy up everything that's not nailed down, man. That's the nature of predatory capitalism. Well, this is put out, I guess, by the pro-immigration people to make fun of the anti-right-wing activists. Italian right-wing activists have reportedly had to be rescued by the Coast Guard in a stunt attempting to show how easy it is to cross between Italy and Tunisia that went embarrassingly awry. Last week, seven hapless members of the anti-immigration party, Lega Nord, attempted to make a point about the volume of asylum seekers coming from Africa to Europe by sailing a rubber dinghy from Italy to Tunisia, flying the party's flag. But just off the coast of Malta, the dinghy's motor caught fire and the men were forced to call for assistance, according to Malta's independent newspaper. Well, that doesn't mean the cause was wrong. That just means bad equipment, just like a lot of those illegal aliens that sink and drown. I mean, actually, that underlines the truth of the matter more than ridiculing it, but I guess the progressive left found that pretty funny. Actually, it might be funny, but it doesn't change things. It gets a little funnier. Managing to put out the boat, the motor started on fire, and they managed to put out the fire, and then the men launched a distress signal, but apparently fired the launcher in the wrong way around, directly into the boat. And we're all dumped into the sea. After launching a second distress flare, the Maltese armed forces spotted the troubled dinghy and came to their rescue. Seven included brothers Diego and Giovanni Mataro, Michael Brambilla, Gina Trozia, Giacomo Gramini, Fausto Sarti, Remo Guarini, and party secretary Matteo Salvini, all from the northern Atlantic Italian town of Modena. The men will have to pay costs for their rescue to the Maltese armed forces. The seven have been roundly mocked in the Italian and Maltese media. Instead of covering themselves with glory, they only succeeded in covering themselves with ridicule. Well, you got to be careful what you do. Don't act like a bunch of Hollywood Nazis. Sound like these guys were like the Hollywood Nazis, and they took their little dinghy out and they screwed up. And they actually proved that it's easy for sea trips of this sort to end in tragedy, and in Malta, where neither they nor asylum seekers want to land. Well, yeah, so let them all sink. I mean, you know, if you want to protect your immigration and your shorelines, you know, you can't have it both ways, boys and girls. You can't have them flooding in and then complain about them once they get in there. That's what's weird about the progressive left type people. I mean, look at England, Britain. Look at it. I mean, it's sinking. It's sinking fast. And yet, these so-called progressive left or whatever they are over there keep yelling, well, we got to protect these illegal aliens. We got to get them jobs. We got to get them housing. We got to give them a government grant. But then at the same time, they're out demonstrating for jobs. I mean, come on, man. Well, let's close out with a little reading from Siege again. Siege by my friend James Mason, who I haven't talked to in many, many a moon here. We'll go to this point in the book. Leaks. That's L-E-A-K-S. Paranoia is an insidious thing and must rank as one of the top two or three causes for the complete failure of a racialist organization. Now, he's still speaking here from having an organization. I'm not. But anyhow, this is good information. Paranoia, most often thought of as seeing things which aren't there. Infiltrators, Jews, and so on. But it has one residual effect of not seeing things which really are there. We've all seen the instances of the racialist right-wing type who sees and often goes on to create an enemy in one or more movement comrades, but who falls blindly into government traps. A genuine leader type can and will override all human foibles and deficiencies and go on to wield an effective organization. In spite of surrendering to the individual weaknesses, he will exploit strengths and talents. The trick is that he himself must be smarter or made of better stuff than those he is trying to manage. Hitler was one, Rockwell was another. Hitler originally titled his autobiographical masterwork as A Struggle Against Lies, Stupidity, and Cowardice. Thus, almost surrendering to the temptation to lower oneself to the negativism, which admittedly abounds. Fortunately, Hitler thought better of it and the end and gave us instead Mein Kampf. The Commander Rockwell publicly inveighed against right-wing divisiveness and privately complained about how it was eating up far too much of his time and energy and preventing the party from growing into what it should be and could be. Have becoming during his life and under his leadership. But he stayed on the road and in the public eye, hard at work building the political organization despite all. Well, he was attacked viciously by the right wing. A lot of you people don't know how badly Rockwell was attacked by the right wing conservative, anti-communist, racial people. He had to sue Dr. Fields of the Thunderbolt for defamation of character and took him to court and won. So that's a perfect example. I've got a whole lot of recordings of Rockwell as he went around the country giving little talks to small groups of people. Those are available through our website. But he talks about all these people in this right-wing struggle that were trying to screw him up. And I know how that is because I've run into the same thing over the years. Today, what passes as the movement lies at the total mercy of unbridled paranoia reaching back for an entire decade. Times and strategies have changed or have had to be changed to face present realities. And I've often enough in the past labored long over most things of a hallucinatory nature which have ripped the movement into shreds. Now perhaps is the time to discuss some of those things which are quite real but have done almost as much damage simply because movement adherents have been too occupied with the unreal. The real threat to radical political organization is always from the government sources. After all, it's not the fear of the present government agents which leads to or provides excuse for the paranoid ones to label this or that hapless person an agent provocateur. But for every 10 persons so accused, only one turns out to be the real thing, and that is if he is ever uncovered as such. Most of the time, these agents simply gather their information and then disappear as quickly as they came, with no harm done. I've known the company of quite a few. The really classic examples of the agent provocateur is in fact the one which only appears in the rarest cases. He's the one who through his skill and your carelessness gets you and your associates locked up, injured, or killed. These agents are distinct from simple informants because they actually engineer things which otherwise would never happen. Commander Rockwell often said that both an idiot or an agent can get you just as dead or just as locked up. But if you can't determine the difference between the two, then be assured you'll be better off not aspiring to any movement leadership at all. The leaks which I'm talking about are not our leaks, that is, any holes in our security, such as it is, but rather their leaks, leaks in secrecy of their blanket surveillance of us, and leaks in the effectiveness of it. Agents do exist, and if you stay at this long enough, active enough, you will run into your share of them. Boy, that's the truth. But regardless who you are and what role you may play in the movement, so-called movement, I call it the struggle. I call the movement a bowel movement. Like, if your name so much as appears on a mailing list, then you are too part of this blanket surveillance, which extends over all the rest of us. About 1970, I was at a party in a rural county in the southeast of here, attended by a group of young persons about my age, at that time 18 years old. One of them was a son of neighbors of ours down the road where we'd moved from the city. After a few drinks, he approached me with, quote, "How come the FBI is after you?" unquote. I told him I hadn't been aware that they were after me, whereupon he stated that two agents had been by his home and asked certain questions about me of his parents. Questions pertaining to a certain nocturnal gatherings being held on my grounds lately and being pretty well attended by locals. I assured my friend that everything was all right and laughed to myself at the idea of the FBI concerning itself over earlier drinking parties I had hosted, and which were made up of practically an identical cast that was present that evening. This to the FBI was a Nazi rally. If I was the one hosting it, wouldn't the guests have been positively crapped if they had but known? In 1975, when I first emerged from 6 months in jail, having been convicted of a criminal charge, as this country has no political prisoners, I sent for and obtained my FBI file. At that time, it amounted to a mere 50 pages, but it was notable that it extended back into my high school days, with information having been supplied by former friends and associates as well as parents of same, and amounting to no more than or no less than hearsay and rumor. 1975 was also the year I broke from the former National Party and became active in my own right. 3 years later, in 78, I again requested my updated FBI file and was told that it now amounted to 2,500 pages. The 50 pages accumulated from 66 to 74 included 3 years off and on at the national headquarters. The 2,500 pages from 1975 to 1978, that tends to speak for itself, except that the vast bulk of what was contained in those pages is useless garbage, and again, rumor. Specifics such as identities of agents, informants, and so on were blacked out. By reading around the omitted parts, one had no difficulty in determining who the informants were. And I've done that over the years myself. You get these files from the FBI or whoever, and they redact all the areas where the informants are, but just by getting an idea of the time and the place of the meeting and everything, you know almost exactly who the informants were. During the 74, the Ross County unit of the party was engaged in a legal fight to secure the country's first openly National Socialist booth at the county fair with the help of the ACLU. We succeeded in doing just that. As this is a small town and things like that just don't happen around here, the air was tense the entire summer. I recall one evening picking up my telephone to make a routine call, first to hear no dial tone, and next to overhear an open-ended conversation in the background, conversation which after a few moments of listening to was determined to be originating from Chillicothe City Hall and the police station. At about the same time came the incident after I had cashed a few minor checks from party headquarters at my customary bank for the purchase of licenses necessary for our fair booth, when the rumor came back to me that I was being bankrolled by the Nazis. If only it could have been true. It was during about 1977 that I received in my P.O. box a letter from the Secretary of California Comrade, a major movement leader at the time. This envelope was unopened. There was no return address save the postmark itself. And the only thing correct in the address were my name and the state of Ohio. The box number, the name of the city, and even the zip code were all wrong and not even close. Yet the letter made it to me all safe and sound. Rod Serling, move over. Twilight Zone. Then there have been certain actions here locally which, had the police but intervening in them, could have put myself and a few others away for some heavy charges. These involve matters ranging from illegal to quasi-legal, but which contain too many legalistic red tape complications to be comfortable with in any case. Some had to do with the planned physical attacks in broad daylight in public, while others involved forays into surrounding counties to spread the revolutionary word and involving trespassing, minors, and so on. We were told that these city police departments requested that one locally to please either stop us from doing this or at least tip them off when we're going to do it. They failed to do either. There was the flight I had to make from Ohio, 1981, when a warrant for my arrest appeared imminent. There was no difficulty in getting out. Evidently, they weren't watching closely at these times, or else they didn't want to move until they felt sure they could put me away for good. More recently, I was told by an amused ex-girlfriend last year that during the course of a conversation at a social gathering attended by herself and some local attorneys and so on, plus one out-of-state government man, it was dropped by his out-of-towner that there had been one local name on his list of dangerous persons to watch, mine. And presently there was a call from one ex-associate about a month ago to the effect that I was about to take a fall. How many of us have heard that before? They're going to get you. They got you now. According to him, rumors emanated from sources both official and private were too many to be ignored. Illegal possession of certain material was at bottom. He advised me to get rid of it, if indeed it existed at all, and I assured him no problem. And to date, no raid. With the single exception of the last account, none of the above was ever at any time discussed over the telephone, through the mail, or with any person who might immediately be involved with the issue at hand. The persons involved in this masterful legal, psychological, and political warfare, you must assume that you're being watched and listened to at all times and proceed to act accordingly, because in effect, you are. The degree and intensity of this surveillance rises or falls hand in hand with the degree of revolutionary political activity you maintain. Mine has been Pretty Brothers' fearsome apparatus, leaks in his supposed steel wall of covert secrecy. Brothers fearless. Most importantly, these leaks can be anticipated and even engineered by you for revolutionary advantage. If only you discipline yourself and rid your mind of deadly paranoia, which far from protecting you from Big Brother's agents, actually does about 80% of their work for them. So that's the end of that for today. And that's true. For years, I had people used to call me and say, did you hear that noise on the phone? They're tapping our phone. And most people in the old right wing who were doing nothing at all, and there was really no reason to tap their phone, were always the ones who thought their phone was tapped. I guess it made them feel important. But I've always used to tell people, I said, look, you're not going to hear a government tap. Government taps work very well. I was taken through telephone companies in San Diego and shown exactly how it was done by friends of mine who worked for the phone company. I went into the main room back in the days where they were using pretty much a mechanical setup and tape recorders to tap lines, and showed me exactly how they do it. It's quite simple in the main room and all that. But there wasn't a week went by that somebody didn't call me and say, I think my phone is tapped. And 99% of them, their phone has never been tapped, even now. You got to be creating some imminent danger to somebody for these people to hang around you all the time. Now, just think of the money wasted if they're following me around this little one-horse town I live in. You know, I go to the town, I go to the grocery, I go to the post office, I go home, I may stop and have a beer, and that's it. Now, they probably listen fairly intently to these broadcasts, or they're given them to them by the SPLC and so forth, but to have agents tied down following people around 24 hours a day, every time you go 50 miles away, they get all excited, that's a horrible waste of money. And in most cases, they don't do it. And it's always seemed to me that the people who do the least in the struggle always think they're the ones that they're being watched all the time and followed, and every car that goes by their house is watching them. No. They're looking for patterns. They're looking for a change of routine in your life, things like that. Things that their psychoanalysis people can figure. Oh, this guy's about ready, man. Listen to that Metzger. He's almost at the edge, man. He's going to blow any minute, man. We better watch that guy. the famous but incompetent and their buddies. And I hate to even think of all these thousands of new agents they're hiring on, from Bubba, they're getting out of prison, to become an FBI agent, to illegal aliens, to, like, the last two FBI agents that showed up at my door was way back in California 20 years ago, and they dressed like Mutt and Jeff. At one time, the FBI used to dress pretty sharply, you know, more like the Secret Service. But as the qualifications to be an FBI man started going into the toilet, these people started looking not only physically like, well, race-mixed people and all that kind of stuff, or even white stupid people dressed in stupid suits and the whole bit, and they had become really a laughingstock, a mockery. But don't kid yourself. They can be dangerous, and if you're operating in a different way or something that might draw attention to you, they may watch you a little bit. They may watch you a lot. So that's why you have to be cool, clever, and legal. Okay, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. And tomorrow, supposedly, we got Stray Dog back on here. We got all off track a couple of weeks there, but Stray Dog should be back on here tomorrow, 14:05. Don't be too paranoid. Yeah, I think everybody should be a little paranoid, but don't get too paranoid, because you're not effective when you're running around scared to death all the time. And laugh a little. It drives them crazy. You know, I haven't had anybody come up to me in a bar or anything like that, or wherever I'm at, and offer to sell me guns and stuff for 30 years. 30 years. The last time anybody tried to sell me anything was I told you about this once before, when I lived by the Marine base. A guy wanted to sell me a truckload of gas masks. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to do with a truckload of gas masks? I said, where's your bill of sale, buddy? And he said, sorry, I don't have it. And away he went. That's the last time anybody's tried to sell me any kind of weapon or anything like that, because only the real dumbest of the dumb fall for that stuff.